It is June 13. First, I would like to thank my listeners, those people who continue to listen to me and support my family. I was very pleased to receive your congratulations on the award. All this together, both the award and your kind words, give me the understanding that I'm really doing something important, something I will not be ashamed of. I just want to tell you one more thing about the award and then move on to the next topic, because it's just very important to me. Along with me and our military and civilians, the awards were received by the families of the fallen heroes, those who stopped the Russian enemy at the cost of their lives. There were many of these people, widows and widowers, mothers, fathers, children, brothers and sisters of fallen heroes. Many of them are now serving in the army themselves. For example, a young female sergeant with 3 children got the award for the dead husband. I could hardly hold back tears when I looked at these people who lost their loved ones. They turned gray from grief and tears. One of these people, an elderly man who received a hero's star for his dead son, approached me after the ceremony. He was holding the box with the award in his arms, with the tears in his eyes, but he was smiling. "You are Matsarsky, right?" he asked me. "You know, I listened to your program on the radio from the very first episode. Almost didn't miss a single one. I'm asking you to take care of yourself, because I want to listen to you even after the victory." It has been 16 months since my program, which I was hosting before joining the army, has been on pause. For over a year, I have not been working on it, and I even thought I would not return to it, but I would engage in something else if I survived until the end of the war. But now I realize that I can't give up on this work. I will continue to pursue it. Of course, this is a matter of a distant future. I understand that the war will last at best for months, at worst for years. Even when we liberate all the occupied territories, it won't be the end of the war. The Russians will continue to terrorize us with missiles and drones as we are doing now. They will be gathering strength for a new attempt to destroy Ukraine, and they will raise the new generations of their children filled with hatred towards us. For some time, I served with guys from western part of Ukraine, from regions that were occupied by the Soviets only in the 1940s, that is 20 or even 25 years later than the other parts of Ukraine. Almost all of them have similar family stories. The great-grandfather was executed for alleged anti-Soviet activities. The great-grandmother with small children were sent to Siberia to a camp of the enemies of the people. After Stalin's death, she was freed, but with a ban on living in Ukraine. They returned to their homeland only in 70s or even in 80s. This is the real attitude of Russians to Ukrainians: executions, camps, deportations, bans. That is why Ukrainians fight so hard. Everyone understands that we have no choice. If we lose, they will simply destroy us. I don't know if Western and Eastern politicians who have to make such decisions listen to this podcast, but if they do, I want to tell them, you must provide Ukraine with security guarantees after the liberation of all occupied territories. You must let the Russians understand that a new attempt to seize Ukraine will lead to confrontation with the entire civilized world. Otherwise, they will try to destroy us again and again. Modern Russia does not have any ideology. They do not have values around which the state is built. They now have only an irrational and unreasonable thirst for the destruction of Ukraine, and this thirst will never be quenched.